That's number eight, the promise of rain. We are going to consider the promises that God has made that he would give to his people, the early and the latter rain, and the in-between rain, in order that the crop of godly living and fruit might grow and flourish in the heart of the believer. Do we believe the promises of God? Is a question we should ask ourselves. The Holy Spirit is given to carry forward from one stage to another the process of spiritual growth. Our part is to accept this revealed fact and to allow its principles to work out in our lives. Part number one, when the Spirit is rained upon us. Joel predicted the coming of the early and the latter rain. There are other passages in the prophets that tell us that God will give his Spirit. Joel uses the figure of early and the latter rain that thereafter pervades the scripture teaching concerning the gift of the Spirit. We have said many times that the two stages of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the individual life, in the individual church's life, and in the life of historical Christianity begins and ends the process of growth and development. Rain is a great blessing from God. It had never rained before the flood. Rain came and destroyed the world that then was, and thereafter, rain has come consistently to help the plants and vegetation and all kinds of life to flourish. Rain is a symbol of blessing. The absence of rain is blessing withdrawn. Solomon prayed that the Lord would grant rain when his people repented of their sins. God revealed his disapproval of Israel's apostasy in the time of Ahab and conveyed his message through Elijah that there would be 3.5 years of drought. Job, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Amos, Zechariah pointed to rain or lack of rain as a special mark of divine favor or disfavor. In Palestine, there are two major times for the rain to fall. The early is the fall, the autumn rain. After the dry summer, the farmer has to plow the fields, now softened by the early rain, and sow his seed. The early rain causes the seed to germinate. Some 6 months later, 7 months later, in the spring, the seed that has been growing all winter is about ripe. And the latter, or the spring rain, falls to cause the heads to swell, ready for the sickle. So the fall or early rain begins the process, and the spring or latter rain consummates the process. The prophets talk about the truth that God comes and showers righteousness upon us. Righteousness is bestowed upon us by the Holy Spirit. The Bible uses this outpouring of the Holy Spirit as the agent, divine agent, for bringing the seed into life, developing being, and then bringing the fruit on the plant, ready to be harvested. Joel, as the margin would give you, tells us that the rain, early rain, is a teacher for righteousness. There's a play here on the Hebrew term. The teacher, the rain teacher, instructs the farmer, get busy. Break up the fallow ground. Make the soil ready for the planting of the seed of truth, the seed of the word, the seed of righteousness. So the early or the autumnal rain in teaching the farmer that now the cycle of agriculture was beginning was a teacher. And since the cycle of spiritual growth deals with righteousness imputed and imparted that comes from Christ, this early rain was a teacher for righteousness. Part number two, why the rain is needed. Well, the locusts in Joel's chapter 1 had devoured everything. Plague after plague had followed. There was a severe lack of plant development. There was a drought. The events had come about that made growth extremely difficult. So God says, I'm going to send my spirit that will restore the years that the locusts have eaten, the palmer worm and the caterpillar. The ground is hard and baked and chapped and broken, dry, nothing can grow, dust. Now the rain comes. Things soften up. The whole atmosphere changes. The farmer hitches up his animals and he plows his field. And so the early rain, the fall rain, teaches him what to do and how he should act. Now, regarding the Spirit, on the day of Pentecost, when the Christian church was starting out, Christ had been here 40 days after his resurrection. He had met with groups of his people. He had instructed the 11 faithful apostles what they should do. They gathered together others, and 120 of them met in the upper room and for 10 days prepared their hearts. And then at Pentecost, the former rain, the seed germinating, soil softening, teaching of the farmer what he ought to do in the way of righteousness, came upon the waiting 120 and set the whole process of righteousness by faith and salvation through the gospel in operation. When Jesus was here on earth, in his last discourse, he promised his disciples that when he went to his Father, he would pray to the Father, and the Father would send him another Christ, another one like himself, comforter, sustainer, advocate, advisor, guide, a presence that would aid in every way. He makes the promise. Then, after his resurrection, a few days later, he repeated the promise and told them, wait in Jerusalem until you receive the promise. So, Joel's promise, Christ's pre-Calvary promise, Christ's pre-ascension, post-Calvary promise, are all taking the same great thought and saying, prepare yourself and get ready for it. The Holy Spirit was the highest of all gifts, the other Christ, that Jesus could solicit from his Father for the exaltation of his people. The Spirit was to be given as a regenerating agent. Without this, the sacrifice of Christ would have been of no avail. The Spirit is given to induce us to accept Calvary. The power of evil had been strengthened for so many centuries. Submission of men to the satanic captivity was amazing. Sin could be resisted and overcome only through the mighty agency of the third person of the Godhead, who would come with no modified energy, but in the fullness of divine power. And we see that working on the day of Pentecost. Came with the fullness of divine power. Through the Spirit, the believer becomes a partaker of the divine nature. Christ has given the Spirit as a divine power to overcome all hereditary and cultivated tendencies to evil. Now notice what they did in the upper room. Part number 4. They were all together in one place. They were to tarry there till they received the promise. God's part was to provide the Spirit. Their part was to prepare themselves to receive the promise. Now these two principles apply all through Christian experience. God's promises never fail. He has promised us the Spirit, just as He did the disciples, through Joel, through Christ pre-Calvary, through Christ post-Calvary, promise. Wait. Prepare yourself till you receive it. The disciples prepared themselves, and God fulfilled the promise that He had made. He did everything that He said and surprised them. He did more than they could have imagined. They were in one place, one accord, one purpose, one prayer. They were ready. When they were ready, the rain fell. The former rain to prepare them for the service that God had for them. Part number 5. 10 days before Pentecost. In the sanctuary service, 10 days before the Day of Atonement were days of preparation. In the Feast of Trumpets to Yom Kippur, 10 days of penitence. After Christ's ascension, for 10 days before Pentecost, they were to prepare. In heaven, Jesus had a work to do. He entered the presence of the Father. He points to His wound, His head and side and feet and hands, bearing the print of the nails. He points to the tokens of triumph, that multitude that He had resurrected. He presents to God the wave sheaf, those raised with Him as representatives of the great multitude, and His sacrifice is accepted. The voice of God is heard proclaiming that justice is satisfied. Satan is vanquished. All the orders of government in the universe, rulers, principalities, powers, acknowledge the supremacy of the Prince of Life. And the word flows out in grateful praise. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power. Now what did these disciples do? They prayed. They studied the Scriptures. They had fellowship. And they did their business. They had to elect a successor for Judas. Church organization had to go on. And so they coupled devotion with business, and when the Spirit saw that they were ready, He came in all His power. Notice the 6 things that they did. Prayed, humbled themselves, repented and made things right with one another, repeated the truths that Jesus had taught, meditated upon Christ's life and His promises, and carried out church business. And when this was done, in all His fullness, the Spirit came. Do we believe His promise? He fulfilled His promise. in days gone by, a handful in the upper room, accepted the promise and went out to change the world.